Section 1. Listening. This section of the test has three parts. You will hear three recordings, which you will listen to twice. While listening, answer the questions in the appropriate part of the test. Follow the instructions. When answering questions in the first and second part, use the answer sheet labelled with a cross. When answering questions in the third part, use the answer sheet labelled with a pen. Now prepare the answer sheet labelled with a cross. Part 1. In this part, you will hear two different extracts. In the first extract, you will hear an interview with Martha Stewart, a television personality in the USA. In the second extract, you will hear an interview with Shami Chakrabarty, a well-known lawyer and campaigner in Great Britain. For the following statements 1 to 10, choose the correct answer A, B, C or D. There is always only one correct answer. Mark your answers on the answer sheet labelled with a cross. Now you have 2 minutes to read the tasks. Now listen to part 1. Extract 1. An interview with Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart is a fashion model, writer, television personality and mum. In the following interview, she will reveal her secrets to living well, loving your own life, and how to reinvent yourself at any age. Martha, what made you write your latest book?
People need help. They need to be reminded to take care of themselves and stimulate their brains. Make habits, good habits. It's not fun to get up at 6 a.m. and meet your trainer, but it's necessary. You just have to do it.
What other advice can you share?
In your 40s, you should plan how you're going to approach the rest of your life. By your 50s, you should have a good doctor and wellness routine set up. It's not selfishness, it's actually selflessness. The better you take care of yourself, the less you're going to rely on others. 70 now is nothing like the 70 of 20 or 40 years ago. I don't have a name for the new generation, but I would definitely say that 70 is the new 50. Not everyone wants to retire, and very few want to slow down. Diet and exercise are so crucial.
What are your goals for the Martha Stewart Center for Living, devoted at New York's Mount Sinai Hospital, to the health needs of older adults?
The goal of the centre, which is dedicated to my mother, is to help people to live longer, healthier and more productive lives, even as they age. Another goal is to help other hospitals develop prototypes of the Centre for Living so that their communities can have access to the right care. Whoever is a caregiver is also a daughter, son, or granddaughter who has a job and a family and has to give up special time. Many caregivers don't have the proper resources to give the help they need to give and to work at the same time. The centre is helping to develop new tools and resources for them.
Why is this cause so important to you?
America has not favoured geriatric medicine. It's unattractive. The target group is a group of people complaining all the time. That's what they think. The trouble is, most ageing people haven't taken care of themselves and haven't thought about it soon enough. With this giant silver tsunami fast approaching, America will soon have more over 65s than under 65s. Geriatric medicine is the future.
How important is friendship as you age?
Staying sociable will limit the isolation that could come in later years as friends move away or loved ones die. In the last 25 years, so much has happened. Is the internet doing what it's meant to do, which is saving time to do other things? I don't think so. To me, it's a waste of time for a lot of people because they spend hours reading blogs or surfing the web. They probably should be telling their kids to brush their teeth or going for a walk, doing something interesting instead.
Extract 2. An interview with Shami Chakrabarty.
Shami Chakrabarty is a lawyer and campaigner working for the organization Liberty, which is a non-party membership organization. In the following interview, she will reveal her personal and professional ambitions. Where are you happiest and why?
I'm happiest at work with my colleagues. It's a massive privilege to love what I do. My work matches my values, so I can simply be myself. There are about 30 Liberty staffers, and these are the people I choose to be at the pub with, having a chat about what matters in life. I also have a darling 12-year-old boy, and I love being with him, going to the cinema or the local Italian restaurant.
What's your greatest achievement?
I don't consider Liberty to be my own achievement, as it's a collective, but the work we do, putting human rights back on the agenda, being part of the debate about freedom and never be complacent, is of real value. The organisation is 80 years old this month, and of that I am immensely proud. The victories have been in Parliament, the courts, and in changing public opinion.
What are you best at? And what is your best character trait?
I am articulate, so both the spoken and written word. Human rights is all about connections, what we have in common, and I find that life-enhancing. And as for my best character trait, I hope it is that I am loyal.
What is the best piece of advice you have ever been given?
I've had mentors, but I'm finding in my middle years I'm hearing wisdom from younger colleagues. Be receptive. You never know who'll show you the way.
What is the trait you most dislike in others?
Arrogance. I recognise that it is a mask, but I don't like those who do not listen, act superior or dominate.
What is the misconception people most often have of you?
People think I am serious and fierce. London cabbies often can't believe that I am that woman on the telly, as I'm rather jolly. I cultivated a tough exterior, as it is often necessary in the public arena.
What do you hope is your legacy?
Poet Emily Dickinson said her friends were her estate, so I'd like my son, friends and colleagues, who I love and respect, to feel I shaped them in some way. They've helped me to learn to become calmer, more reflective and wiser.
Now listen again. Extract 1. An interview with Martha Stewart.
Martha Stewart is a fashion model, writer, television personality and mum. In the following interview, she will reveal her secrets to living well, loving your own life, and how to reinvent yourself at any age. Martha, what made you write your latest book?
People need help. They need to be reminded to take care of themselves and stimulate their brains. Make habits, good habits. It's not fun to get up at 6 a.m. and meet your trainer, but it's necessary. You just have to do it.
What other advice can you share?
In your 40s, you should plan how you're going to approach the rest of your life. By your 50s, you should have a good doctor and wellness routine set up. It's not selfishness, it's actually selflessness. The better you take care of yourself, the less you're going to rely on others. 70 now is nothing like the 70 of 20 or 40 years ago. I don't have a name for the new generation, but I would definitely say that 70 is the new 50. Not everyone wants to retire, and very few want to slow down. Diet and exercise are so crucial.
What are your goals for the Martha Stewart Center for Living, devoted at New York's Mount Sinai Hospital to the health needs of older adults?
The goal of the center, which is dedicated to my mother, is to help people to live longer, healthier, and more productive lives, even as they age. Another goal is to help other hospitals develop prototypes of the Center for Living so that their communities can have access to the right care. Whoever is a caregiver is also a daughter, son, or granddaughter who has a job and a family and has to give up special time. Many caregivers don't have the proper resources to give the help they need to give and to work at the same time. The centre is helping to develop new tools and resources for them.
Why is this cause so important to you?
America has not favoured geriatric medicine. It's unattractive. The target group is a group of people complaining all the time. That's what they think. The trouble is, most ageing people haven't taken care of themselves and haven't thought about it soon enough. With this giant silver tsunami fast approaching, America will soon have more over 65s than under 65s. Geriatric medicine is the future.
How important is friendship as you age?
Staying sociable will limit the isolation that could come in later years as friends move away or loved ones die. In the last 25 years, so much has happened. Is the internet doing what it's meant to do, which is saving time to do other things? I don't think so. To me, it's a waste of time for a lot of people, because they spend hours reading blogs or surfing the web. They probably should be telling their kids to brush their teeth or going for a walk, doing something interesting instead.
Extract 2. An interview with Shami Chakrabarty.
Shami Chakrabarty is a lawyer and campaigner, working for the organization Liberty, which is a non-party membership organization. In the following interview, she will reveal her personal and professional ambitions. Where are you happiest and why?
I'm happiest at work with my colleagues. It's a massive privilege to love what I do. My work matches my values, so I can simply be myself. There are about 30 Liberty staffers, and these are the people I choose to be at the pub with, having a chat about what matters in life. I also have a darling 12-year-old boy, and I love being with him, going to the cinema or the local Italian restaurant.
What's your greatest achievement?
I don't consider Liberty to be my own achievement, as it's a collective, but the work we do, putting human rights back on the agenda, being part of the debate about freedom and never be complacent, is of real value. The organisation is 80 years old this month, and of that I am immensely proud. The victories have been in Parliament, the courts, and in changing public opinion.
What are you best at? And what is your best character trait?
I am articulate, so both the spoken and written word. Human rights is all about connections, what we have in common, and I find that life-enhancing. And as for my best character trait, I hope it is that I am loyal.
What is the best piece of advice you have ever been given?
I've had mentors, but I'm finding in my middle years I'm hearing wisdom from younger colleagues. Be receptive. You never know who'll show you the way.
What is the trait you most dislike in others?
Arrogance. I recognise that it is a mask, but I don't like those who do not listen, act superior, or dominate.
What is the misconception people most often have of you?
People think I am serious and fierce. London cabbies often can't believe that I am that woman on the telly, as I'm rather jolly. I cultivated a tough exterior, as it is often necessary in the public arena.
What do you hope is your legacy?
Poet Emily Dickinson said her friends were her estate, so I'd like my son, friends and colleagues, who I love and respect, to feel I shaped them in some way. They've helped me to learn to become calmer, more reflective and wiser.
Now you have 30 more seconds to complete the tasks. Part 2. In this part, you will hear 5 short extracts in which 5 experts, doctors and psychologists, talk about the reasons for tiredness leading to insomnia and simple solutions how to overcome such problems. There are 2 blocks of 5 matching questions. You will have to match all 10 questions while you are listening to this recording. Read the questions carefully before you listen. For questions 11 to 15, choose from the first list, marked A to H, the reason of tiredness each expert describes. For questions 16 to 20, choose from the second list, marked A to H, the simple solution to the problem of tiredness leading to insomnia each expert describes. Be careful. For each block of questions, there are 3 extra possibilities you do not need to use. There is always only 1 correct answer. Mark your answers on the answer sheet labelled with a cross. Now you have 2 minutes to read the tasks. Now listen to part 2.
You will hear 5 short extracts in which 5 experts, doctors and psychologists, talk about the reasons for tiredness leading to insomnia and simple solutions how to overcome such problems.
Speaker 1. So how did we become so sleep-starved? A major part of the problem is the change in working hours. We're working longer and later. We get home later, eat later, and then we still want some downtime, so we'll stay up watching TV. Sleep is what we cut short to fit it all in. Then, when we finally do go to bed, we close our eyes and expect to switch off straight away. But it takes time. Brains need to deactivate. There's 1 simple solution. Do not force yourself into sleep. The more you battle, the more you'll wake yourself up. We call it acceptance and commitment therapy, teaching people to use mindfulness. This involves the acceptance of what's happening so people can acknowledge their thoughts and let go of them. Then they focus on their body, their breathing, the bed and the sheets. In this way, people switch from the thinking part of the brain to the observing part of the brain, which is non-stimulating.
Speaker 2. Another issue is the way we work. We're far more connected to our work now. The electronic devices, laptops, smartphones and tablets, which are supposed to make working easier, are just making it easier for us to work later. Before, work and home were separated by time and space. Now everything is blurred and work seeps into our free time. It's often the last thing we do at night, which is far from relaxing. So what to do? Next time you're on the tube or train, look up and notice how many people are playing with phones or tablets. To avoid this boredom killer, cycle to work or walk the last few stops on the tube. You'll arrive with a clearer head and feeling more energized.
Speaker 3. It's not just our work we're permanently connected to. We've developed unhealthy relationships with technology in general. In the last 20 years, the pace of life has really stepped up. There's a constant flow of information on platforms such as Twitter and Facebook that we feel we have to stay on top of. Otherwise, we'll somehow be missing out. We're so reactive and not discerning about what's really important. We're always mentally engaged, and it's very difficult to disconnect. One of the solutions is very simple. Every 90 minutes, get away from technology. Move away from your screen, stand up and walk around, make a cup of herbal tea, chat to a colleague. Your brain stores information on a 90-minute cycle, so going offline gives you a chance to pack this away.
Speaker 4. Despite the millions of years of evolution, we're still cave dwellers, and light is key to controlling our wake-sleep cycle. Photoreceptor cells detect the amount of light in the environment. If there's plenty of it, they tell our body that it's time to be awake. The waking hormone cortisol is released and production of the sleep hormone melatonin is inhibited. So if you're using bright screens late at night, your body can get tricked into thinking it's still day, making it hard for you to sleep. What's to advise? Besides being exposed to light, there are other substances that keep us awake. Reduce caffeine, aiming for no more than 2 to 3 cups a day before 2 p.m. and reduce your alcohol intake. Stop work a couple of hours before bed and switch to low-key activities such as pottering around the kitchen, washing up, tidying. Dim the lights and prepare for bed.
Speaker 5. Another part of the tiredness problem is that we tend to deal with the symptoms rather than the causes, partly due to the pressure we feel to do everything. People are pushing themselves so hard at work, they end up running on fear and adrenaline. The recession has made us worry about our futures, but we're still trying to create lives where we have everything. This fuels a need to keep going, however shattered we are. We have to do it all, absorb all the strain, just to prove we are worth it. What to do? You need to escape from this stress, at least for a short period of time. Take a rest, stop worrying, and try daydreaming. When we do this, the beta waves produced when we were alert are replaced by slower alpha waves, signifying a relaxed state, and then by much slower theta waves. In a theta state, your working memory begins to shut down. You're starting to consolidate.
Now listen again.
You will hear 5 short extracts in which 5 experts, doctors and psychologists, talk about the reasons for tiredness leading to insomnia and simple solutions how to overcome such problems.
Speaker 1. So how did we become so sleep-starved? A major part of the problem is the change in working hours. We're working longer and later. We get home later, eat later, and then we still want some downtime, so we'll stay up watching TV. Sleep is what we cut short to fit it all in. Then, when we finally do go to bed, we close our eyes and expect to switch off straight away. But it takes time. Brains need to deactivate. There's one simple solution. Do not force yourself into sleep. The more you battle, the more you'll wake yourself up. We call it acceptance and commitment therapy, teaching people to use mindfulness. This involves the acceptance of what's happening so people can acknowledge their thoughts and let go of them. Then they focus on their body, their breathing, the bed and the sheets. In this way, people switch from the thinking part of the brain to the observing part of the brain, which is non-stimulating.
Speaker 2. Another issue is the way we work. We're far more connected to our work now. The electronic devices, laptops, smartphones and tablets, which are supposed to make working easier, are just making it easier for us to work later. Before, work and home were separated by time and space. Now everything is blurred and work seeps into our free time. It's often the last thing we do at night, which is far from relaxing. So what to do? Next time you're on the tube or train, look up and notice how many people are playing with phones or tablets. To avoid this boredom killer, cycle to work or walk the last few stops on the tube. You'll arrive with a clearer head and feeling more energized.
Speaker 3. It's not just our work we're permanently connected to. We've developed unhealthy relationships with technology in general. In the last 20 years, the pace of life has really stepped up. There's a constant flow of information on platforms such as Twitter and Facebook that we feel we have to stay on top of. Otherwise, we'll somehow be missing out. We're so reactive and not discerning about what's really important. We're always mentally engaged, and it's very difficult to disconnect. One of the solutions is very simple. Every 90 minutes, get away from technology. Move away from your screen, stand up and walk around, make a cup of herbal tea, chat to a colleague. Your brain stores information on a 90-minute cycle, so going offline gives you a chance to pack this away.
Speaker 4. Despite the millions of years of evolution, we're still cave dwellers, and light is key to controlling our wake-sleep cycle. Photoreceptor cells detect the amount of light in the environment. If there's plenty of it, they tell our body that it's time to be awake. The waking hormone cortisol is released and production of the sleep hormone melatonin is inhibited. So if you're using bright screens late at night, your body can get tricked into thinking it's still day, making it hard for you to sleep. What's to advise? Besides being exposed to light, there are other substances that keep us awake. Reduce caffeine, aiming for no more than 2 to 3 cups a day before 2 p.m. and reduce your alcohol intake. Stop work a couple of hours before bed and switch to low-key activities such as pottering around the kitchen, washing up, tidying. Dim the lights and prepare for bed.
Speaker 5. Another part of the tiredness problem is that we tend to deal with the symptoms rather than the causes, partly due to the pressure we feel to do everything. People are pushing themselves so hard at work, they end up running on fear and adrenaline. The recession has made us worry about our futures, but we're still trying to create lives where we have everything. This fuels the need to keep going, however shattered we are. We have to do it all, absorb all the strain, just to prove we are worth it. What to do? You need to escape from this stress, at least for a short period of time. Take a rest, stop worrying, and try daydreaming. When we do this, the beta waves produced when we were alert are replaced by slower alpha waves, signifying a relaxed state, and then by much slower theta waves. In a theta state, your working memory begins to shut down. You're starting to consolidate.
Now you have 30 more seconds to complete the tasks. Now look at part 3. For part 3, you will need the answer sheet labelled with a pen. Please find and prepare it. Part 3. You will hear a radio programme about a day in the world of an entrepreneur. Complete the sentences 21 to 30 which summarise the information from the text. Use one word or two words in your answers. The number of words is indicated in brackets. To complete some of the sentences, you may also have to use word forms different from those you have heard in the recording. Write your answers on the answer sheet labelled with a pen. Now you have 2 minutes to read the sentences. Now listen to part three.
Desi Bell is a co-founder of the fitnesswear brand Zagora. She lives in London with her husband and co-founder Malcolm and their son, Byron. She will describe her typical day in business life.
At 6 a.m, I meditate to calm my mind for the day ahead, then whiz up an energy-boosting smoothie before heading to the gym for a quick cardio or yoga session before work. When I was pregnant with Byron, I found exercise was a brilliant remedy for my back pain. At 8:30 a.m, I arrive at work excited to face the day's challenges, whether it's managing the 30-strong workforce or creating new ideas for our range. My light bulb Zagora moment occurred in 2008, just before my wedding. After a week of hell trying to get in shape for the big day, I thought there must be an easier way. The concept of heat increasing your metabolic rate came up during research, and with the help of my husband Malcolm and a friend, 3 years and several prototypes later, Zagora's signature ThermoFit fabric technology was born. It works by increasing your body temperature during exercise to maximise calorie burn and weight loss potential. At 10 a.m, I log on to our Facebook page to read the feedback from some of our 510,000 fans. Launching the brand through Facebook was the best decision we ever made. Early on, we didn't have a website, so we used more traditional market routes for our research. Nowadays, the internet provides you with a wide network and free marketing. Feedback is vital to ensure you're on the right track. Originally, we sent out 500 clothing items to bloggers in exchange for an honest online review. Thankfully, the results were positive, but occasionally reviews have meant we've had to deviate from our original plans. At 11:30 a.m, I resolve customers' merchandise issues. When establishing your own business, you need to develop good quality products and provide excellent customer service. If you provide a fast and friendly service, your customers return and your reputation grows. At 1:30 p.m, I have my lunch, usually a healthy chicken salad. My eating habits have improved dramatically in recent years. At 3 p.m, I analyse our budgets. Thanks to my investment banker background, my main responsibility is the company's finances. I work on product development too, which requires brainstorming viable ideas, communicating and executing them. Juggling so much can be tricky, but I break down problems one at a time to stop feeling overwhelmed. I also have complete faith in my team. At 7:30 p.m, I come home and relax by cooking with my husband. I also bash out work-related ideas with him. We have very different skills. My husband's expertise is in marketing and commerce, so we split our responsibilities clearly and give each other space to develop our careers. We stick to work-related discussions during office hours and both respect each other enormously.
Now listen again.
Desi Bell is a co-founder of the fitnesswear brand Zagora. She lives in London with her husband and co-founder Malcolm and their son, Byron. She will describe her typical day in business life.
At 6 a.m, I meditate to calm my mind for the day ahead, then whiz up an energy-boosting smoothie before heading to the gym for a quick cardio or yoga session before work. When I was pregnant with Byron, I found exercise was a brilliant remedy for my back pain. At 8:30 a.m, I arrive at work excited to face the day's challenges, whether it's managing the 30-strong workforce or creating new ideas for our range. My light bulb Zagora moment occurred in 2008, just before my wedding. After a week of hell trying to get in shape for the big day, I thought there must be an easier way. The concept of heat increasing your metabolic rate came up during research, and with the help of my husband Malcolm and a friend, 3 years and several prototypes later, Zagora's signature ThermoFit fabric technology was born. It works by increasing your body temperature during exercise to maximise calorie burn and weight loss potential. At 10 a.m, I log on to our Facebook page to read the feedback from some of our 510,000 fans. Launching the brand through Facebook was the best decision we ever made. Early on, we didn't have a website, so we used more traditional market routes for our research. Nowadays, the internet provides you with a wide network and free marketing. Feedback is vital to ensure you're on the right track. Originally, we sent out 500 clothing items to bloggers in exchange for an honest online review. Thankfully, the results were positive, but occasionally reviews have meant we've had to deviate from our original plans. At 11:30 a.m, I resolve customers' merchandise issues. When establishing your own business, you need to develop good quality products and provide excellent customer service. If you provide a fast and friendly service, your customers return and your reputation grows. At 1:30 p.m, I have my lunch, usually a healthy chicken salad. My eating habits have improved dramatically in recent years. At 3 p.m, I analyse our budgets. Thanks to my investment banker background, my main responsibility is the company's finances. I work on product development too, which requires brainstorming viable ideas, communicating and executing them. Juggling so much can be tricky, but I break down problems one at a time to stop feeling overwhelmed. I also have complete faith in my team. At 7:30 p.m, I come home and relax by cooking with my husband. I also bash out work-related ideas with him. We have very different skills. My husband's expertise is in marketing and commerce, so we split our responsibilities clearly and give each other space to develop our careers. We stick to work-related discussions during office hours and both respect each other enormously.
Now you have 30 more seconds to complete the tasks. The listening section is now over. Please stop working on this section. Now go on to the next sections of the test.